Being recorded.
Okay. We have Salman Hussein, and we have Dave, and myself, Steve, supporting. Jim, I'll be any old call to you. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Steve. So as I understood what you were saying before in being organized, so we've gone through the ALEC comment and we're okay there. The INTA comment, we're going to continue to next week. We're waiting for more information from Sarmad about script tag versus language tag. And we have the question of must be present versus may be present phrase from the Weird's comment, but we're going to take that comment and address it in the context of going through the MOG comments. So I believe so. That's our agenda for this morning, is to focus on the MOG comments. Anyone want to suggest something different or add anything to the agenda?
Just a question. This is Aubrey. So we're really looking at the subject as presented by both MOG and Weird. Is that what we're doing? This is Aubrey.
Yeah.
And it's because it was the topic, and they seem to be, at first reading, opposed. So is that... I mean, they seem to have different notions of what it meant to be must-have or what was the reason for a... So we're looking at both of those in comparison, or is that what we're doing?
Let me just say yes. I guess I didn't really think that hard about how to drive this, Aubrey. So... let me let you drive.
I don't want to drive. I was just looking at them, and they seem to be disagreeing with each other from my first reading. So that's why I was thinking we had to deal with them in comparison.
This is Steve. I think that's a good idea. Maybe we can look at the Weir's comments first about the must be present versus may be present, and look at the specific section from the MOG comment about the must be present.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right, Aubrey. Let me propose what I think is a summary of what each is doing, and just make sure that we're all on the same page here. So if I get this wrong, just let me know. But you're right. I think Weirds is saying that they want to soften the requirement for a required single language, and MOG seems to actually be pushing for a single choice for a language to be present. Would you say that's true, Aubrey?
That's the beginning of it. I think there's another aspect in the Weirds. I think that they're saying, and if there is a must be present, that must be present is governed by local law and would be the local, whereas the MOG is saying, and of course the must be present is asking. But at least that's another new issue that I seem to be collecting from both. Am I correct? Is that how others read it?
Yeah, this is Dave. One of the things that I'm trying to understand with the MOG comment is what the purpose is in insisting on English. So the trying to extrapolate and trying to imagine being back in a MOG meeting. Yeah, the first reaction that I imagine I would hear is, well, everybody knows English, or most of the people who chase after spam know English, and that's the reason. That's not as legitimately articulated a reason as the one that came from that came and talked about requiring or making certain that what you have is the information in a way that it can be used in legal representation, which means I can go to a local jurisdiction and say, these are bad actors, I need to take them, I need to take action against them. I actually am more sympathetic to the way that Weirds has approached this, and the way that there was one individual, Andrew or somebody, who mentioned legal representation, and I pursued that with a couple of other people. offline, and they said, yeah, what we need is to be able to take something and present it in a manner where it there's a legal representation. It's not a John Doe. It's not a scribble. It's something that I can go and say, this is the party that I need to be able to actually take action against.
So I agree with you, Dave. I think that MOG, as I look at their evaluation, their response and discussion for finding 4.4, they use a phrase that says, the primary concern is maintaining the global usability of domain name registration data. And then in the discussion, they actually boldface the word must and in the following phrase, which is the existing operational usability of domain name registration data for broad global audiences must be retained. So what I interpret MOG to be after here is they, in fact, like that the current existing protocol and the current existing registration data as normally presented, the fact that it's in U.S. ASCII is exactly the feature that they like, and they insist that that be carried forward, that legacy feature needs to continue to be supported. That's my interpretation of why they're asking for what they want, based on those phrases that they put there, right there at the bottom of page 2 and into the top of page 3.
Right. Well, I like IPv4 addresses. I hate to be flippant about it, but I don't see that we even have to continue the R&D working group if the goal is to keep things in ASCII. Yeah.
Well, this is Steve Metalitz. We're not continuing the IRD working group. Aren't we trying to wrap up here and integrate the comments on the final report and then put our recommendations forward?
Then I'll rephrase and say I don't see any purpose in continuing work on internationalized registration data if the only goal, is to keep it in U.S. ASCII.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think one of the options that was presented is that a lot of the options talk about translation and transliteration into a must-be-present script. If that's U.S. ASCII, then the question is, who's responsible for, if there is going to be a must-be-present script, who's responsible for making sure that that happens? So that's what we've been spending a lot of time over the last 2 years talking about, and it's what we've suggested that the two bodies in ICANN have an issue or commission an issues report about, isn't it?
Yeah. Can I comment?
Yes, Aubrey, please go ahead.
Aubrey. In a sense, we're recapitulating the discussions we've already had. I think, and remember, we're sending this out and looking for an issues report to explore things further. And so I don't think we need to decide between one or the other. I think one of the things that we may need to capture, and also there's a point, is if a must-have is ASCII, it may also be that there is other stuff that can be there, that should be there, that is not ASCII. So, of course, there's still a reason to do the internationalization work, even if we're saying both have to be there. But one of the things that I think we need to capture, and I think Steve brought out some of this in his email, is that there's sort of the extra considerations that came up in the comments probably should be fed into the issues report. The considerations that both of them gave, one of them for the legal purposes versus the purposes of the sort of universality of understanding and making sure that, ASCII being probably the world's second script is explained and is there in the issues report request. But more than that, I don't know, what it is we can do with those comments other than make sure that the issues report request is as complete as possible. Thanks.
So this is Dave. I think one of the things that I'm struggling with here, Steve, and I have a great deal of sympathy about being able to display things in a language that makes legal representation, makes business usability of who is. I have a harder time understanding how that translates into storage. So must be present to me means it must be present in the database. whereas transliteration and translation are actions on given data. And so that's the part that I find sort of frustrating, because I sense that people think that the world is going to be much easier if there is an ASCII database of everything plus some numbers of permutations of, you know, of translations and transliterations. So maybe I hope that's a little bit more articulate than I was earlier, because I've only had one cup of coffee today.
This is Samad to come in.
So yes, Samad, go ahead. I was waiting to see if Steve wanted to have a follow-up comment, but please go ahead, Samad.
I'm okay if Steve wants to go.
No, go, Samad, go ahead, and I'll come in after you.
Okay. So there was something I was raising towards the end of last call, I think. A couple of issues with must be present script. First of all, and this is something which we've probably not discussed before, if we require a must be present script by a registrar who's registering domain names in a different language, we are in essence requiring that registrar to maintain double the amount of data, at least double the amount of data, than other registrars who are just dealing in ASCII-based domain names. And that, in a way, causes some imbalance in just competitiveness between the two registrars. Because they do not just have to maintain the double amount of data, they also have to check double amount of data, and they also have to check the accuracy of double the amount of data as per the RAA. So I'm not sure whether that's fair. The second issue is that suppose this registrar is located in a country which has a official language in only a single official language in some other script, and that's a very likely scenario, then what legal basis does the registrar have in that country to require data from registrants in ASCII script? Actually, the registrar doesn't have any legal way of imposing that on a registrant. And if the registrant does not give English or ASCII version of the data, that sort of puts the registrar in a situation where the registrar's accreditation with ICANN becomes jeopardized. And it's not because of anything which a registrar is doing, but because of the restriction of local law in the space in which the registrar is working. So I'm not really sure how the must-be-present script can be enforced globally through a registrar agreement.
This is Steve. Can I get in the queue now?
Yes, so please, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Samad just said is arguments against some of the models that we've talked about, and particularly the one that requires the registrant to submit the data in a must-be-present script. And I think Dave's point is valid as far as Sarmad's other point is valid as far as the possibility that if there's a must-be-present script, then some registrars will have to store more data than others, which is true anyway, depending on how many registrants the registrar has. But I think I tend to agree with Avery. I don't think it's our job at this point to try to we've already shown that we can't reach a consensus on which model should be used, whether there should be a must-be-present script or whether there shouldn't be, and if there should be, who's responsible for providing it. So I think I agree with Aubrey that our job now is to make sure all these viewpoints are reflected in what we send forward, and let's send it forward.
This is Dave. Can I get in the queue?
So go ahead, Dave. One last comment, and then I want to see if I can close up this discussion, but go ahead.
I'm fine with making the comments, but I think that if staff is tasked with writing the issues report, I think one of the issues that we're dancing around is, you know, what is meant when people say must be present. What, from my perspective, if a registrar chooses to have multiple databases to do this, that's his prerogative. But it seems to me that what people are actually asking for is the display part, you know, and by display I also mean the delivery of, you know, of data that can be used in automation. They're not talking about storage, and I hope that we all agree with that, because if we're talking about must be present meaning storage, then we're talking about an implementation detail that registrars ought to be able to, you know, ought to be able to decide for themselves.
Okay, so this is Jim, and I guess I want to try to speak as chair here. I want to go back to what Aubrey said. I think part of what we're doing here is rehashing comments and discussion that we've already had. We've had quite a lot of discussion over a couple of years here about translation, transliteration, must be present, you know, maybe present, single choice of language. And I believe that the culmination of that has been our specific recommendation to ask for an issues report examining specifically the issue of translation and transliteration and where that should appear and, you know, when it might or might not be required. I believe our document is intended to reflect that registrants should be able to use their local language and or script. That should be the minimum requirement to be supported, and anything past that we're leaving for further study. And I see, again, speaking as chair, what I see from the MOG requirement is they're expressing an opinion in favor of a must be present, but that's an issue that we've already discussed and we've already come to a certain conclusion. So I think our only possible reaction to the MOG comment is, you know, thank you for submitting your comment. You know, we've already had that discussion, and this is the conclusion we've come to, so we're not going to change our conclusion. But, you know, we'll make sure that your particular comments get fed into the future discussion of translation and transliteration. So that's what I think about where we are. Anyone want to disagree or shape that a little differently?
This is Aubrey. Can I comment?
Anyone else want to comment?
This is Aubrey.
And Steve.
And Steve? Okay, so Aubrey, please, go ahead. Aubrey?
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry, I was muting and demuting. I think I totally agree. I think what Dave is saying is something that perhaps should come out in this issues report. I think he's right, or I don't think we're prejudicing the issue of how this is solved, whether it's solved in display or in storage, although I think at a certain part to be able to display stuff will have storage implications, but that's a technical issue. And so I think that's something that can be explored in the issues report, and perhaps the issues report can take an initial stab at where the technical policy divide line is and what some of the technical impingements on policy. You know, technical always sort of gives you the first approximation of what's possible. Then policy asks for more and technology comes up with it. But by and large, technology gives you the first approximation of what's possible. So for the issues report to try and constrain the issue in the terms that Dave's talking about makes incredible sense. I don't see that that's an issue that we need to put in to the issues report, unless we do want to put something inviting staff to explore this particular issue as part of the issues report. Thanks.
So, Avery, just as a point of clarification, every time that you said issues report, you're talking about this future issues report that we're asking for recommendation, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, that's.
I need to ask a procedural question here, just of Steve, and I guess Avery, you may have more experience in this than I do. So, if you have something to say here too, we're talking about trying to say there needs to be certain input to this issues report. How exactly do we deal with our comments here? I mean, we're supposed to produce something which says a response to each of the comments that needs to have a working group consensus associated with it. If we put in there a comment that says we want to hand off this comment to the whatever the issues report staff becomes. Is that the right thing? Is there more procedure associated with this than that?
Can I answer from my perspective? I mean,
we are
giving this back to our two chartering organizations as here's a final thing. We've reviewed the comments, whether we have an appendix or a separate document that says for each of the comments how it was answered. We make edits to our final report based on the comments. That is delivered to our two chartering organizations. And it contains a recommendation that they do further work. And I think it makes sense that, perhaps if it needs a line in there because it's not obvious, and then we ask in this issues report that these discussions be taken into account. But basically, we as a group give it to, and then ESSEC can decide to request an issues report of the GNSO, or the GNSO can decide, to go through the issues report process, or the GNSO can decide to do it on its own, or they both can do it together, or whatever works. Then there's a vote, and then they use this document as an initiation, I would think, into writing the issues report. That would be an expectation in our recommendation. So that's how I think the process would work, and historically, and it matches the both the old and the new policy development processes if we're having the GNSO ask for it. If ESSEC has a different way of getting an issues report, then perhaps it follows that process. But we're making recommendations to our chartering organization.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. Anyone want to add or clarify that?
This is Steve. I'd like to raise a question.
Yes, please. Go ahead. And Steve Metallis, I haven't forgotten your comment. But Steve Shang, please go ahead.
So my comment is, the staff will be tasked to write an issues report on the issue that the community have no consensus on. I guess if the working group could provide more guidance rather than setting the staff up for failure. That's a substantive.
Okay, that's a fair request. Let me set that aside though, so that we can stay on topic here at the moment. I asked a procedural question, and I apologize for that little bit of tangent. And Steve, you're taking it to the next step there, and following up on the particular request of the staff. But let's hold that for the moment and continue with the other discussion. So, Steve Metallis, you had something you wanted to add to my attempt to summarize this particular issue?
Yeah, I think my only concern about your summary was you said we've reached we would say thank you for your comment. We've already reached a conclusion on this subject. What is the conclusion we reached was that we couldn't reach a consensus. We didn't see a consensus on whether there should be a must be present script, and if so, how, who would be responsible for providing it. I think that what the MOG comment weighs in on that issue, and it takes a position on that issue that's not that different from one of the models that we talked about. But and I think it articulates very well what the support for that for that model, but I think at this point we can just say, you know, that should be, you know, considered as the issues report is developed. Obviously, MOG would be one of the sources that the staff might turn to in developing the issues report. But since my only concern was when you said we'd reach a conclusion, I thought our conclusion had been we hadn't found a consensus.
Right, and I apologize if I, you know, biased or overspun my comments about the conclusion. Just to make sure I clarify one thing here. So, Steve, you're going to be writing this, you know, this summary of these comments, and so we'll all get a chance to review the actual words that are used to describe, you know, what I attempted to say here and you know, didn't articulate in a way that completely matched what folks are thinking. I mean, I want to say that we're all in agreement, and it remains to be seen the actual words that are used. But we'll all get to see those, right, Steve Sheng?
Yes, of course.
All right. So let me say thank you for that clarification, Steve Metalitz, and say, does that answer your comment?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. All right, so I think that deals with the Weirds comment and also the particular comment that came out of the MOG comments. So, and I think that, and now I'm a little out of context here, I apologize. Was there anything else in the MOG stuff that we have to address?
Well, this is Steve Metalitz. I think there were two other things there that I just wanted to mention. One is they talk about a solution that's been implemented by some of the CCTLDs, specifically JPNIC. And I don't remember that we actually talked about that. Maybe I just fail to recall this, but it just seems as though there's, you know, there may be something there that we should have been aware of and we weren't. So again, I think this would just be an indicator to the staff that this might be one place to turn for.
This is Dave. I wasn't certain whether they were referring to the use of a flag to indicate that they were going to be returning non-ASCII characters. I mean, we have talked about that solution. I don't know anything else that APNIC is doing at the moment.
This is our...
Let me add. Go ahead.
I'll back off. You started.
I think we did, as you mentioned, we did talk about the signaling, the JPNIC use. I did some queries myself, and what JPNIC does, if you query with a flag, with IDM flag, it will display the information in Japanese. So, for example, in, you know, hiragana or katakana. But if you query without the flag, it will display the same information, but in English. So that means for their name and address, they have it both in their local script as well as in English. And depending on the query a user is submitting, they display different results. So that's what my understanding is. Thanks.
And that's the issue that Jay Daly and I had debated a year ago about the scalability of every provider choosing a different flag, you know, and you know, trying to use that sort of uncontrolled, you know, non-uniqueness property on a globally, you know, globally scalable way. And that's one of the reasons why we've been looking at structured tag data.
Yes, that's certainly valid. Yeah.
Okay, this is Steve Metalitz. Then I simply just fail to recall that discussion, so that was. I'll just withdraw what I said about that.
The article that we wrote for Usenix covers that, Steve. If you want to go back and just take a look at the one, you know, one section of the article, it's only about a couple hundred words.
Okay.
Sorry, can I comment on this a little?
Please go ahead.
I think part of what fits in, though, is, I mean, the issues report that we're asking for is essentially we're asking for more depth in facts. We're asking for more of the considerations that one will have to look at in terms of making decisions that we haven't been able to make. So I think that a little bit of research has, it sounds like actually perhaps a lot of research has been done on what one of the CCs do. I think having an intention in there that's carried over from the MOG work that says, and see what other solutions have already been applied and to what degree they've been successful. And some of that was in the earlier work, so it just gets carried forward, but there may be more to look at. I don't know. But I think that's one way to sort of handle this is to say thanks, is to say a certain amount of research was done, but certainly in the process of an issues report, if there are other available solutions, yeah, they should be summarized as well to see whether there's some nugget of gold in solution space there that, you know, is worth generalizing. Thanks.
This is Steve Metallo. So the last point that I was struck by in the MOG comments was the issue of whether there's the potential for abuse if there's not a must-be present script. And I think they discussed that again. I don't think we're going to reach a conclusion on this, but I thought that point was worth noting. We did talk about that at one point, I think, in this group, but I just thought they presented that. It's worth noting.
Okay, so this is Jim. Then speaking as chair, I think that we have this issue of a must be present language, and we have at least a principle for a way to respond to those things. Then we'll look for Steve to, draft some words for us to consider. But I don't think there's anything else than of significance that we need to respond to in the MOG comments. I think that we thank them for their comments, and everything else is covered by the first item here about the issue of must be present versus not. They make some good points, and we'll certainly make sure that those are carried forward for future consideration, but there's nothing that we're going to do in response to those comments other than carry them forward. Anyone want to disagree with that or shape it in any other way? Okay. And I think that also speaks to the WEIRS comment, because we have now a principle for how to respond to those things, and we'll look for Steve Shang to develop the specifics of that response for us. And I believe then that the only open issue for us is the INTA comment, and we need to wait for some additional comments and input from Sarmad for that. Have I missed anything?
This is Bob Hutchinson. I think on the WEIRS comment, I don't know that we should respond to the generic question of what is a must-be-present language or what does must-be-present mean. I think we've all meant generically that must-be-present means that's the language that the registrant data must be represented in. And here he uses must be present to mean must be present in the generic language of the registrant. And I don't know that that's a correct interpretation of the work that we've done or the way we've used must be present. And I don't know whether it's worth trying to point that out. To avoid future, see what he's doing is basically redefining the terms that we've been using.
So, if I understand the suggestion that you're making here, you're suggesting that we should somehow, somewhere, be more clear about what must be present means. Because I think I would personally, speaking personally, phrase it a little bit differently than you just did, Bob, which is to say, when we talk about must be present or must not be present, we're really talking about what's visible to the user of the registration data. Because I think the point that Dave was making earlier is we should not be speaking to the implementation choice on the part of who's providing access to the data. Because they might, you know, be translating or transliterating on the fly. They might store it in multiple ways. That's not something that we should be speaking to. We need to be speaking functionally to the requirement. So going back up to the top, I think what I hear you suggesting, Bob, is that we should be we should define somewhere along the way here what we mean by must be present, just for the sake of clarity. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it has to be, it has to indicate one way or the other. The interpretation that Weirs wants to put on what must be present is a tautology. It's like saying, okay, well, must be present is whatever the person who registers the name decides it must be.
So let me propose an action to Steve Shang and then see if anyone wants to object or shape it differently. Let's take as an action, Steve, to consider where we might put in a, quote, definition, unquote, of what must be present really means. And then as a follow-on to that, we now have a specific way to phrase our response to the Weirds comment to say that, you know, that's they're suggesting the use of must be present in a way that's different than what we intended, and we've now clarified what we intended.
Okay.
Does anyone object to that or want to shape that differently? Okay. So back up to the top again here. Anything else that we may have overlooked here, or are we down to just one item that we need to wait for some input from Sarmat about?
This is Savory. I wanted to ask, I know you were finishing up that other one while I was unmuting, but I wanted to ask a question. If they've got a different interpretation, do we respond to their comment simply by saying, nope, we meant it differently, or do we need more constructive response that basically discusses the issue that they've brought up and have that issue carried over? I guess I didn't see their thing as a tautology, and I saw it as a different perspective that, you know, and I think, again, it's a perspective we don't have an agreement on which perspective one should take. So I'm not sure that we answer their question just by saying, you misunderstood us, we mean this. We may have to go a little further on exploring what, you know, the sides of the issue are there.
Right. So I agree, Avery. I didn't mean to suggest that adding a statement about we clarified our what we mean by must be present to replace what I had said before.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so we should add that as a comment to also speaking to this issue of, you know, must be present script, the same way that we're going to respond to the MOG comment.
Okay, thanks. Sorry.
Okay, anything else that anyone wants to bring up?
So this is Steve. So what I'm hearing is through these comments, there will be no change in the report, right? Only just a summary analysis, and that's it.
This is Avery. That's not what I understood.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the one change that I heard about the report was speaking to defining, what must be present is.
Right. Sorry. Other than that.
But other than that, I don't think there was any change to the document, Avery. Or did you have something else in mind?
Well, I thought in a couple places that some of the discussions in terms of the questions were being amplified, bringing out the various sides that had been seen between them and the two levels of what must be present that we've discussed. were going to be conveyed in the report. So I didn't think there was any, major change or, structural change to it. But I did think that there were a bunch of amplifications going on, So,
okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, we do have an opportunity. I mean, obviously, if there are some things that you want to make sure are covered, we'll have an opportunity for, some additional editorial proposals for the document. So Steve will do the one change that we are going to make here, and then, we'll have a review cycle inside the working group before we declare doneness and distribute to our respective chartering bodies. I think that brings us to closure for this particular meeting. We have one last issue to discuss, and we should plan a meeting for next Monday at the same time here. Look to Sarmad to provide us the input that we need so that we can close on that one remaining issue. And then, so anyone object to that? I was going to then get into a discussion, a little bit of calendar discussion here about remaining work, but let me just make sure that everyone agrees that that's the end of our work.
This is Steve Metals. Could you remind us what's the remaining issue? What's the outstanding issue?
The INTA comment about script versus language tag. I actually was not on the call last week, so I'm going based on the notes that Julie had distributed that we needed to have some continuing discussion about script tag versus language tag, and Sarmad was going to provide some input to that discussion so that we could continue it. I need to look to someone else to say more if you wanted more, Steve.
No, I do recall that, so that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so looking at time frames, we're talking about having a meeting next Monday, December 5th, at the same time to close on this one issue. Let me just confirm, Sarmad, that you'll be able to send out your input to us, say by tomorrow or Wednesday at the latest. Sarmad, are you still with us?
Jamal conveyed that to Sarmad.
Okay.
Yeah. So the action for Sarmad to provide to write an email to the working group on the issues of language versus script tags.
And then based on the closure of that discussion, then we'll need some period of time for you to produce the next version of the document, Steve. I'm assuming that the changes aren't going to be that substantial. Is it fair to say that you might get that done by the end of next week, if not sooner?
That's possible. So we need to produce a summary analysis to be posted to the public comment forum and then edits to the document. So those are the two changes that we need to make. What I'm hearing is in the main document, there needs to be a place that talk about must be present, define that what we really mean that. And also, there are a few points that Avery mentioned that needs more elaboration. So on those, if Avery could have some specific text sections that needs to be revised, that it could be indicated that to me, that would be great.
Aubrey?
Yeah, sure thing.
Okay. So I'm still looking, Steve Chang, for you to say that, a revised document and the summary of...
Don't make me a gating factor on it. If I don't comment by the time you've made the changes you think to make, I'll comment when you come out with your version. Please don't make me a gating factor.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so Steve Chang, you have two things to produce, the response to the comments and a revised document, and is Friday, December 9th a good time frame for you to have those done for review by the working group?
Yeah, that's possible. Yes, I can do that.
And then what I'm thinking is a one-week review by the working group. So, you know, if we can get that done by the 9th, we can put it out on the mailing list and say the 16th, Friday the 16th, as a comments from the working group. And then what I'm thinking is ideally we won't really have any substantive comments, so we shouldn't have to meet after that. We should be able to close on the mailing list and say that we're done. You know, we shouldn't need a call to agree that we're all done unless something substantive comes up, but I'm going to go with the model that we're not going to have anything. And so that means the week of the 19th, Steve, you can post the summary, and during that week we can also do what needs. I assume there's some official process for submitting the final report to our respective chartering bodies?
Yes.
And that could happen during the week of the 19th, yes?
Okay. Sure.
And then I think that puts us in a pending close date for this working group. Then we wait for reactions from our respective bodies. But I think the intent is that this working group is essentially is done at that point. We just wait for confirmation from our bodies. Do I have that correct also?
I have to check with Julie on that, but that's what my understanding is.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that is actually an interesting question as to what is the formal process that closes us down. So, yeah, let's take that as a background action to figure out what's required there, if anything.
Yeah.
All right. Last call for any other business.
Can I comment on all the things you just said?
Please.
Sorry.
Please do.
One, I think the plan sounds great, but don't be surprised if, you know, you end up calling one more discussion to close quickly any, you know, back and forth with comments. So I would leave just a provisional notion of one last meeting for comment and text talking as opposed to just writing back and forth. I'm not as optimistic as you, I guess. And second, I think that at least within the GNSO context, within the motion that does something with the recommendation that's sent to them, they thank the group, they close the group, they do all that other goop. Thanks.
Okay, good. Thank you. And as far as the provisional meeting is concerned, sure, it wasn't actually my optimism that was trying not to have a meeting. It was my being selfish that was trying not to have it. The logical time to have it, if there was something substantive, would be Monday the 19th of December. And I'm sorry, but I'm planning a vacation day that day. And so what automatically happens here is the meeting gets pushed out for probably two or three more weeks to get past all the holidays, I think.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
we could schedule it. You could schedule it then. Leave it optimistic. And schedule it then if we haven't closed by the end of the year.
So, but anyway, yeah, so fair enough. You know, certainly a provisional meeting. If we need one, we'll have to do something. It's just that it won't be me on the 19th if we decide to have it then, or we'll have to decide to push it out after the holidays. But fair enough. We'll come to that conclusion when we need to.
Yeah. So this is Steve. I have one last point to raise that I raised earlier, if possible. Yeah. So the point I want to raise is when the staff is tasked with writing the issues report, we're talking about requirements for translation and transliteration. We have the working group deliberated and could not come to consensus. The question for us is what additional information could the staff provide that could help further to reach consensus on this issue? And we probably need input from the working group.
Can I comment? I think that what the staff has to provide is all the background. I mean, part of the issues report is formula, and it's, is this thing in scope for the GNSO, et cetera, et cetera, if that's how it's being done. The other part is doing a factual analysis of the issues of presenting the various arguments. I don't know that it's for you to actually build the consensus. It's for you to describe the issues in their full blooming so that then a policy process or whatever comes out of it, you know, joint working group across all, you know, across the two SOs plus advisory committees, whatever comes out of this has all the information it needs to then start talking the policy issues and arriving at consensus. I don't actually think you have to come to a consensus.
Okay.
Or to bring us there. And maybe I'm wrong, but we have to find our way to consensus based upon full information and full understanding of implications and full understanding of the various arguments.
That makes me much less nervous. That's good. So what I'm hearing is the issues report needs to lay out the facts.
The issues,
and all the various arguments for and against, and then leave that into the PDP to decide.
And, right. And the factual constraints from technology. So if technology does place, or at least we believe it places, constraints on what can and can't be done, that's a good thing to include in there too, I think. Or if you know you're going to wake people wet measure. So I think the facts, yes.
Okay.
So I'll just agree both personally and as chair. I mean, that's my understanding of the issues report, what Avery just said. Your job is simply to lay it out as much as possible, as completely and as thoroughly as possible. And it becomes input to some other body which has to decide on what to do with it. So the PDP process that Avery was referring to.
Okay.
Okay, last call for any other business? All right, then by my clock, I'm giving you back 3 minutes of your day.
Woo-hoo!
And let's hope that we don't actually have to have another meeting.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Bye.
So thanks, everyone. Bye.